you know, we're really, really fortunate here at All Saints to have some great speakers. And Jonathan, legend, you know, he preaches up a storm every time. There's loads of people who really we're blessed by, who open up the scriptures to us, and they make us think about things that we didn't realize was in there. You know, Tim talks about kind of the Greek and the Hebrew stuff that, you know, who knows what that's all about. But it's great having them, isn't it? This is not going to be a talk anything like that. I'm seeing this as more of a kind of pre-match pep talk, as a kind of encouraging rallying cry, call to action, to passion. It won't take long, but my aim is that we will leave after being ready for the game, being ready to go out and to be changed by God. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that we can spend time here and now, seeking after you, spend time worshiping you, spend time corporately gathering to praise your name. And Lord, our prayer is that we would leave being more like you. Would you transform us, Lord? And that song that we just sang, it says, we are here longing to be changed. Breathe into our lives again. Don't let us leave the same. That is our prayer, Lord. May this not be a going through the motions, but may this be a time of being touched and changed by you. Amen. So I don't know who was here last week. Okay. So our Olympic series started last week, and Ali Gordon spoke about archery, and I felt slightly bad. It was pointed out to me afterwards that she really had no idea about archery. She's like an amazing sportswoman, and I think she's been in like a GB team, or at least a, you know, she's an amazing sportswoman. And rather than draw on that knowledge, I gave her the topic of archery to talk about, but it was brilliant. And it's not yet online because I haven't done my job this week. But when it's online, I highly recommend that you listen to it. Again, it's just a 10, 12-minute talk. And she was talking about accuracy and the idea of aiming. And yeah, I highly recommend it. But this week, it's completely different from kind of fine detail accuracy stuff. This week, it's not anything so subtle. This week, we're talking about power. And I just thought, just for a second, if you don't mind, why don't you turn to who you're sitting next to and name a couple of sports in the Olympics that require power. What jumps out at you as a power sport? Okay. Anyone want to shout out any sports? Weightlifting. Yeah. You've stolen my thunder. But anyway, what else? Rowing, yeah. Basketball, yeah. I meant to get a picture of those gymnastics guys doing the... I went to school with a guy that was in the British gymnastics team, and he made us all feel very weedy and inferior. any others? Cycling, yeah. Yeah, have you seen the guys... what are those muscles called? Quads. They're like, yeah, incredible. Sprinting, yeah. So all these sports, amazing sports, are need power, kind of raw power. And the one that seemed most obvious to draw analogies from tonight was weightlifting. And I had seen a bit of it on the TV in the last week. And if it works, we'll have a quick look at a video of the men's 56 kilogram weightlifting. Eleanor stepped in last minute. What a legend. Round of applause for Eleanor. No. Right, okay. Who's going to act it out? No. Well, this clip was the 56 kilogram weight category, and it had a Malaysian guy and a Chinese guy going for the title, and it was just scary seeing these guys holding a bar over their head that was literally bending because it had so much weight on either side. And it's hard to get our heads around how the human body can do that. And it struck me, and probably if anyone, I hope no one here is a weightlifter because they'll come and tell me this is completely wrong. But it struck me that first and foremost, it's not really a sport of kind of finesse or strategy. It seemed more like brutal strength, basically. I'm sure there is technique in it, but ultimately, I think if you haven't got the muscles to back it up, then you're not going to be lifting those kind of weights. And I heard, actually, the guy in the video, he lifted over 3 times his own body weight. Now, I thought only ants could do that, but that's pretty cool. Could we try the second video? I think I may know what happened, and it's completely my fault. So the second one was a Paralympian, and their weightlifting is slightly different. They do bench presses, so they're lying down. And this guy I think he's lost a leg or something like that. And again, just seeing the weights on the bars, it is just like incredible. And I was looking into muscles, and I found a great fact that apparently you've got roughly 600 muscles in your body. And if it was possible, it isn't, but if it was possible to pull all those muscles in the same direction or push the same muscles in the same direction, use them at the same time, we would be able to lift 25 tons. Yeah, believe. And that's mind-blowing. But I'm here tonight to tell you that we can do even more than that. Yeah, I know. Wow. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 20. It's called The Healing of a Boy with a Demon. It's page 984. Oh, and it's up on the screen as well. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. That's pretty cool. That's just, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I had a quick look online and found, so yeah, it must be true because it was online, but found that they've approximated that Mount Everest weighs 3.4 billion tons. So is Jesus here saying we can move 3.4 billion tons? I think we'd slightly be missing the point if we thought that. But what he is saying is that we can do the impossible in his strength. We can overcome the insurmountable. So you ask, how do we do that? And what Jesus said is faith. Faith is how we do it. And now you're thinking, great, brilliant. What's faith and how do I get it? In Hebrews, it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's another good definition, but you might still be asking, as I was, okay, so how do I kind of increase that? How do I get more of that? And there are a million and one different teaching, good teaching, about how to increase our faith. And but the one thing that often comes back to me is thinking about how big is our God? How big is my God? And being challenged about that. Because you see, if our God, if we put our God in a box and we just think he's good for a Sunday evening, but he's not really going to do much in my life, then the reality is often he may not do very much in your life. To illustrate this, I'm going to read a little story. And I think I've shared it before. So it's a great story. But it's a guy called John Ortberg had this experience. Many years ago, I was walking in Newport Beach, a beach in Southern California, with two friends. Two of us were on staff together at church, and one was the elder at the same church. We walked past a bar where a fight had been going on inside. The fight spilled out into the street, just like an old Western. Several guys were beating up on another guy, and he was bleeding from the forehead. We knew we had to do something, so we went over to break up the fight. I don't think we were very intimidating. All we did was walk over and say, "Hey, you guys, cut it out." It didn't do much. Then, all of a sudden, they looked at us with fear in their eyes. The guys who had been beating up on the one guy stopped and started to slink away. I didn't know why until we turned and looked behind us. Out of the bar had come the biggest man I think I have ever seen. He was something like 6 feet 7 inches, maybe 300 pounds, maybe 2% body fat. Just huge. We called him Bubba, and then he puts in brackets, not to his face, but afterwards when we talked about him. Bubba didn't say a word. He just stood there and flexed. You could tell he was hoping that they would try and have a go at him. All of a sudden, my attitude was transformed, and I said to those guys, "You better not let us catch you coming around here again." I was a different person because I had great big Bubba. I was ready to confront with resolve and firmness. I was released from anxiety and fear. I was filled with boldness and confidence. I was ready to help somebody that needed helping. I was ready to serve where serving was required. Why? Because I had a great big Bubba. I was convinced that I was not alone. I was safe. If I were convinced that Bubba were with me 24 hours a day, I would have a fundamentally different approach to my life. If I knew Bubba was behind me all day long, you wouldn't want to mess with me. But he's not. I can't count on Bubba. Again and again, the writers of Scripture pose this question for us: how big is your God? Again and again, we are reminded that one who is greater than Bubba has come. And you don't have to wonder whether or not he'll show up. He's always there. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live your life in hiding. You have a great big God, and he's called you to do something. So get on with it. I've read that so many times, and it still kind of gives me goosebumps, because it's so easy to think of safety and confidence being found in earthly things, in having a big Bubba with us, or it might be having money, or whatever, wherever you find your security. But the real source we find in God. We often think of ourselves as powerless, and I think that's sometimes a good place to start. And just thinking about that Dry Bones song, the idea of we're nothing without God. But we should be always quick to remind ourselves daily, you know, hourly, minutely. Minutely, is that a word? To remind ourselves of how great the God is that we follow, and how powerful he is. Through him all things are made. We probably haven't got the last video either. No. So the last video was the most mind-blowing one. You might have seen something like it before, which is, it showed space, basically. And it showed Earth, and then it kind of zoomed out from Earth into space. And it gave comparisons between our planet that we live on here and the other planets in the solar system and our sun. Actually, I was watching something that said, if the Earth was a golf ball, then the sun would be a 15-foot-wide ball. And then it goes out further than that. And then it turns out that our sun is a pretty small sun. And there's other suns that or stars that would fit 15,000 of our suns into the size of that star. And it's a shame we haven't got the video, but it made me think about the psalm. So let's we're going to finish by reading Psalm 33 together, because I just think so often in the Psalms, I think they're reminding themselves of how great God is. And that as we do that, our faith rises, and we can become confident and powerful in our lives. Let's read this together. Let's all stand. Yeah, if the band wanna head on up as well. So let's say together, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for how great you are, how powerful you are. Who can stand against you? We thank you for the way that you flung the stars into space. Your very word caused creation to be formed. And Lord, now I pray that you would make those wonderful words, those incredible truths, all the more real to us. May we recognize that we have one greater than Bubba. We have an almighty God who's with us 24 hours a day. And just during these next few songs, I just wonder whether there's some people who have struggled maybe just recently or maybe for a long time about mountains in their lives, about things that they just don't seem to be able to overcome, and you've even doubted if God can make a difference in those situations. And if that is the case, we'll have some people over to my left, your right, ready to pray for you. Or if there's someone that you know and trust next to you, feel free to ask them to pray for you. But let's use this opportunity of having just reminded ourselves of God's greatness and power, of bringing those things, that those struggles to him, and to pray for him to overcome, and pray that we believe that we can move mountains.